The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at ShelleheadComics.com. Welcome back, host Dave Draper!
Yay!
We are back, gang, for another week of fun toy news and geek talk and just overall
shenanigans.
Shenanigans, indeed. The toy news this week was kind of...
There's a couple big things.
One of the things I thought was interesting was SH Fig Arts, who they make some pretty darn good figures.
Yeah.
They are doing a take. They're doing their own WWE figures.
Wow.
And the first two out of the box are going to be based on the Attitude Era versions of Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. And I will admit that if the prices on these are decent...
Yeah,
I may actually.
Yeah, you're adorable.
I may actually buy these because they both look just phenomenal.
Define decent.
Well, less than $40.
You're cute. Well,
they look really good though. If you haven't seen, there's just some really weird, like, I don't know where these pictures came from, but they're just really odd, odd pictures. And the first wave, of course, is Rock and Austin. The second wave is rumored to be Undertaker and John Cena. So, people are pretty excited about Tamahashi Nations doing SH Fig Arts.
I would imagine.
I think it's interesting. The G.I. Joe Kindle Worlds on Kindle had a fan vote for a figure based on one of the characters, and the character created by Bill Nedro for a story titled G.I. Joe Body Count. The figure, the character is named Stiletto. Was the one that was chosen.
The only Joe of the four.
Yep. And they have been working on her for a while now, and they've shown some updated looks at it, the head sculpt, the file
card. And
those
sketches are done by our friend who's right here in Springfield, Robert...
Oh, Robert Atkins.
Robert Atkins.
Yeah.
Yep. I read the article.
Oh, yeah. But the... The figure itself looks to be, you know, your basic run-of-the-mill Joe. It looks to be...
They reused, what's her name's body? She was supposed to be dial tone, and she wasn't.
They reused
it in red, and then they used, the Dreadnought. They used the Zarana, the girl Dreadnought arms.
Yep.
That's in the article. They talk about how they had to swap out the arms to make it look better. And then the head's a unique sculpt.
Mm. Very cool looking, though. I mean,
Irizarry's going to make fun of me now.
Yeah, oh well. When doesn't Irizarry make fun of us?
To be fair.
Yes.
That's true.
A few things on NECA.
You skipped a couple. I mean, like, one thing that I was wondering about with that figure was...
Oh, Stiletto. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
How are we going to get it? And apparently it's going to be available at Toys R Us
in the
fall? In the late summer,
apparently,
early fall?
Yeah.
Well, that was something I literally, until this article came up, I had no idea. How it was supposed to be available.
Right. Were we going to have to order it from Kindle?
Was it going to be the Comic-Con exclusive? Because they still haven't announced anything for Joe.
No.
On that.
No, they haven't.
I don't think they've announced anything for anything.
No,
maybe
not Hasbro.
Maybe Transformers, but I don't keep up with that. But I haven't heard for, like, Marvel, Star Wars, or Joe.
Mm-mm. And we're getting to the point where they're going to start, you know, Mattel started to tease things, and
We're going to get to the NECA story in a minute.
Yes.
I assume.
Yes. So, you know...
I'm just saying that's an interesting piece of information that perhaps our listeners, some of them maybe not have seen that article, would like to know.
Yeah. Speaking of NECA.
Do you just randomly click on articles and, like, do you read these things?
I don't have a chance to sometimes. That's why I depend on you.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains the situation.
Yeah. NECA is releasing another Nightmare on Elm Street figure, this time the ultimate Freddy Krueger from Dream Warriors, which was one of the
the
best
third one. Yeah, and one of the best.
One of the best Nightmare on Elm Street movies out there. But he will come with a ton of accessories, including two interchangeable heads, two pairs of hands, the Elm Street house, a Freddy puppet, and removable hat. And, of course, he's fully posable. So,
is it the Elm Street house or the dollhouse?
It is the I think it's
because there's a dollhouse in the movie.
Yeah, I think it's the dollhouse.
That's literally how it ends, is the little light comes on in the dollhouse. Ding.
Yeah, I think that's what it is the dollhouse of the Elm Street house. Yeah. But a great, you could swap out his the regular sweater front to display a tortured souls version of him from the end of the film.
Yeah.
Where the souls are, you know, I don't remember what his line is. If it's not you're all my children now, because that was part two. Dang, I can't remember what his...
I thought part two was you're the body and I'm the brains.
It was, but in the pool scene when he comes out, he's like, you're all my children now. Yeah. Part two was awful.
Two is the one that I never revisited at all.
Yeah, two's an awful film.
Yeah, it's
not
great.
Crummy. Yeah, it's not great. And we'll get to the other NECA thing here in a minute, but we are coming up to PowerCon, if anyone is out in California. It takes place June 4th and 5th, so we're just a handful of weeks away now.
Yeah.
And the schedule and program have gone live for PowerCon.
Okay.
And there's some interesting things on there.
Sure.
Hold on.
I believe you.
There we go. It had been moved down. When the show opens on Saturday, of course, Friday, much like JoeCon, BotCon, all that stuff, is early attendee pickup for the packages, for your toys. And then Saturday, you've got, at 10:30, you've got an introduction to the German audio plays, which those have come in. They've always been one of those things in the Masters lore that people, you know, non-German speaking fans, mostly us English fans, have not ever got to really visit. And the German, you know, the audio plays were something that existed for the German audiences that really helped tie those characters into their, you know, in their minds. And that's where the anti-Eternia He-Man came from.
I read that somewhere.
Yeah. That's where that character comes from. But there'll be a introduction to the German audio plays by audio play expert Gunnar Sadowski. So that'll be something interesting for anyone that's... the interest has peaked in that. Starting 11:30 is the design of Motu, featuring the Four Horsemen and Martin Ariola. Starting at 12:30 is the Voices of Eternia and Etheria, which will feature Melindy Britt, Brian Dobson, Gabe Cowan, and Alan Oppenheimer, the voice of Skeletor.
Yeah.
2:30 is the Mattel Power Panel, which will feature Garrett Sander and Darren Sander, which will show off... you know, some prototypes and some never-before-seen packaging artwork, as well as a few surprises. So I'm sure we'll see some announcements made at PowerCon in lieu of San Diego Comic-Con as well.
Yeah.
At 3:30 is the Memories of Lou Scheimer, featuring Erica Scheimer, his daughter. 4:30 is the Power Dark Horse Books. 6 o'clock is the cosplay contest at 6 p.m. And of course, Master Ceremonies is none other than our buddy Pixel Dan. 8 to 9 is He-Man, the definitive panel, which tells you what's in store for the upcoming documentary that was kickstarted.
That on the show.
Yeah. 9 to 10:30 will be the Trials of Dark Smoke fan film. 10:30 to 11:30 is the Fall of Grayskull fan film and Double Down Dan 2-pack panel. I'll give you two guesses who's involved in that panel.
Erdley.
Yeah. Daniel Benedict, who was the director and creator of Fall of Grayskull, and of course Pixel Dan. And they've got a something else up their sleeve that they're going to show off there as well. And then 11 to 1 will be Roasted Masters, which basically allows... they're mixing two of the He-Man She-Ra podcasts. So that should be very interesting. It'll feature Nate Bastrich, Rob Bass, Daniel Benedict, Dan Erdley, Danielle Gerlitter, Katie Carty, Haley, John Callis, and Val Staples. And then Sunday, there's some interesting things. The Super 7 Super Awesome panel, the Motu DC Comics panel.
Yeah, I just actually got my shipping notification for the regular classic color Ford figures.
Yeah.
From Super 7.
Yeah. The Motu Classics mini comics panel, the Origins of She-Ra, the Help Make an Episode interactive panel, and the Loyal Subjects Spectacular on Sunday, which so there's some fun stuff for people going to PowerCon this year, as well as a lot of great vendors. God Beast will be there. The Mythical Warriors of the Ring will be there. A number of our good friends from conventions will be there. So it'll be be fun. It'll be fun to see. Unfortunately, we will not be there, but you know. The big news that broke this week, toy-wise,
broke yesterday, as far as I know.
Broke on Monday.
Oh, which was yesterday for us.
Yeah, it was yesterday for us.
But it's several days ago for those of you in the future.
Yes. NECA showed off one of their San Diego Comic-Con exclusives, and that being a 2 4-figure package set. So there's 2 box sets,
yes.
Each containing 4 figures, a 6-inch scale, based on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game.
Yep.
And one box set is all 4 turtles, and the other box set is Shredder and the Foot Clan, the different Foot Clan members. And I'll be honest, they're pretty spectacular looking.
Oh yeah.
I know there's a huge fan following for all the video game figures they do.
I've actually picked up several.
You've picked up several. I like them, but I'm not a huge enough fan to go after them just because I'm like, they're cool, but you know.
Well, usually they're in stuff I'm collecting, like Aliens, yeah, and Godzilla. And, I mean, they're doing most of the things that I collect anyway.
Yeah.
The horror stuff I've kind of left alone.
But these, you know, these figures are just, they're pretty amazing.
Well, it kind of made me sad because when I first saw them, I'm like, ooh, I got to get Leo. And they're like, oh, it's a 4-pack and it's Comic-Con. And that made me sad because I'm not going to get it. Because my 2 favorite arcade games of all time,
right,
are Battlezone and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I played that game like not all through high school, but pretty much my junior and senior year.
Yeah.
And I always played Leonardo. And like, I was like, oh, if I could get this set at Toys R Us, I would buy it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
And people have, the box sets will retail at San Diego Comic Con for $100 a piece.
Yes.
They're limited to 2 per person. And I'm guessing they're not.
There's some pretty cocky eBay sellers then.
Yeah, there are. And what has really set people off is that NECA announced that they're only going to be available at conventions. They're not going to be available anywhere else.
Well, yeah.
All of these figures are new. They're not reusing anything NECA's done before with Turtles. They're all new body sculpts. They're all new sculpts, head sculpts, body articulation. The Shredder, of course, is brand new because all we ever saw was a prototype. So everything on these figures is brand new, 100% brand new sculpts. But the thing that's had people up in arms is the fact, of course, that they're San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. And people are very, very irritated. But the reason why they are that way is because Paramount and Nickelodeon, so Playmates and Nickelodeon Studios, to allow NECA to do this, the licensing agreement was laid out as such that they could only do these figures in this scale, in this scheme, as convention exclusives, and they could not ever see the light of day through any type of retail, whether it was online sales or Toys R Us or anything, whether it was even NECA's own store. They were only to be sold at conventions, and that's it. That was the licensing agreement.
Yeah, and that really should be nothing new.
No, it shouldn't, but so many people are furious that they're not going to be able to get this set and are so... Like, I've seen people... stories about people wanting to boycott NECA because of this, and it's like, you guys... For all the people that collect toys, my word of advice to people, maybe new listeners or people who just got into toys who found us or something, is do me a favor. Do your due diligence. Do a little research and find out how the business that you're collecting works so you have a better understanding of why things like this happen. All of these people complaining and whining and crying about this don't quite grasp the situation that this is the only reason they were able to make these figures is because they had to sign that licensing deal, and that's that.
That's what I was going to say is yes, right now, if you buy them on eBay, and this is like, for right now, it's about twice as much as the set will cost.
Yes.
And as people are pointing out, as our own Pixel Dennis pointed out, A, that price is just going to go up.
Yep.
As soon as that convention's over.
Yep.
B, you factor in the hassle and expense of actually going to Comic-Con.
Trip.
Yeah,
tickets.
I mean, it's a nightmare just to get there. So, I mean, you're kind of... But my thing is, it's either that or you wouldn't have gotten anything at all. Like you said, I mean, this was a very... And NECA has been really skilled about dancing around these licensing agreements and slipping in there.
Yes.
And you would not have these, you know... Yes, it will cost you a little more money if you're not going to Comic-Con to get these things, but they would not exist at all otherwise.
No, not at all.
So, it's like, just... And again, it's not Sergeant Slaughter. The reason we got a 25th anniversary Sergeant Slaughter was because it was a Comic-Con exclusive. Yep. That was the only way they could get around the WWE.
Yep, because WWE wouldn't allow him to sell that, yeah, that likeness as a figure.
And it's like, you got to understand, I mean, Playmates and Viacom didn't even have to let them do that.
No.
They could have said no.
Yeah.
And again, I think NECA is just, NECA's got somebody there that just can talk.
Oh, yeah.
Do something. Because they did it with the Batman figure. Yeah. Where they slipped that out and... You know, there's a whole shenanigans where they had to be with a DVD and yada yada.
Yep.
So now Toys R Us has a pile of DVDs that nobody, you know,
exactly.
Nobody understood how that worked,
yeah,
at Toys R Us, so they didn't sell them properly.
No.
But point being that they find these little gaps, these little ways to wedge their way in and get these amazing toys made. And this one's going to suck a little bit because it's going to cost a lot. And
right.
Honestly, that's kind of made me go, I really, really want... I just want Leonardo, but I mean, I'd like to have the set, but I'm not going to pay $200 for it.
No.
So,
but again, like you said, I mean, double the price for, you know.
But yeah, if you really want this, if this is something that's and for me, I gave it a lot of thought,
right?
Because of all the turtle stuff, the game probably is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
So I gave it a lot of thought, like just maybe in another time, another place, another situation, you know, like last year, I probably would have gone for it,
right,
and been happy,
yeah,
because I would never have gotten it otherwise,
right.
So it's more of a personal situation, but. If you really want these figures, you should be buying them up on eBay right now for $200.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you're not gonna, yeah,
I agree.
And just be happy that you got them.
Yeah. There, I mean, it's a beautiful set though, and kudos to Randy Falk and all the guys at NECA and all the gang at NECA that were able to do this for the people that will be able to get them, because they're, again, just amazing. I mean, one of the foot soldiers even comes with the giant hammer, for gosh sakes.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Well, I assume the hydrant's part of the set, the exploding hydrants.
I don't think so. I think that's just the backdrop put together for the set.
Whatever.
But it's pretty cool.
The NECA's dead to me.
Oh, no.
Bastards.
I found it interesting on Monday also, when this broke, that Disney and Netflix announced a deal, which was pretty phenomenal in the world of streaming, because right now you've got Netflix, you've got Hulu, you've got Amazon Prime, you've got all these other upstarts trying to come into the game,
yeah,
and pull some of that money away from, you know, pull some of that sweet, sweet Netflix money. As I spit all over Dave, I'm so sorry.
Well, actually, you spit all over your dog's sad, but...
Yes. As they try to get some of that sweet, sweet Netflix money... In 2012, Netflix and Disney struck a deal to make Netflix the exclusive home of a ton of movies from the House of Mouse, and this included films from Marvel, from Lucasfilm, from Pixar Animation. But the deal doesn't begin until, guess when? 2016.
Okay.
They signed that deal 4 years ago,
huh,
and had to wait 4 years for that deal to take effect. And basically what it means, for anyone wondering, is... the streaming service revealed that in September, Netflix will become the exclusive U.S. pay TV home of the latest films from Disney, Marvel, Lucasfilm, and Pixar. Oh my, get Pixar. That means Disney's previous exclusives deal with Stars is done, and now you won't have to pay your cable subscriber for easy video on demand access to all your favorite Disney movies. So it's.
No, I have to pay him for internet access so I can watch Netflix.
Well, but it's just...
I'm just saying.
Right. And the deal is for any films released 2016 and beyond. Anything before that is not part of this deal, which means Force Awakens won't be a part of them just yet, but it will eventually...
Dude, I'm sorry. I get I'm a dinosaur, but this is why I like the DVDs.
Yes.
Because you know what? I can watch Force Awakens anytime I want.
Yes.
Yay!
But I mean, you've got stuff to look forward to as Zootopia, Jungle Book, Finding Dory later this year. Of course, more Star Wars films. All the Marvel movies will be hitting Netflix. It's pretty cool. It's
now, does this preclude their own channel? Because like, when I saw this, I'm like, well, Disney's got like three channels.
Yes. This is strictly. I mean, most of those films play on the Disney Channel at some point anywhere on ABC Family or something like that, and. And this will be very much, you know.
Is this like a first run thing, and then down the road the Disney stuff gets it, or?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. So like a couple months after it's been out on Blu-ray or DVD.
Yeah, I was like, that would be weird for Disney to cut their own throat like that.
Well, but it depends on how much Netflix is.
Well, again, no. I mean, well, yeah, but I mean,
right.
You know, you gotta think, like, you know, I mean, if it's a first run thing, you know, because that's the way it always used to be, is that you got the first, you know, like HBO and Showtime would fight for first run rights.
Yes.
If it's a first run thing, then this absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
If it's like a forever thing, then like they just screwed themselves out of a hell of a lot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, boy, did they.
That's how Marvel got into trouble in the first place.
Yeah, right. We'll get back to some movie news, but I watched this week, of course, we're hitting the finales of Flash, of Arrow. Last week, though, was the finale of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I need to get caught up with everything.
And you have not watched it yet.
I have not watched nothing. I know enough to know that it didn't quite end the way I thought it would.
Yes. So. Yes, it did not. It didn't quite end the way I thought it would end, to be honest. Because the way that film ended was, or the way the series ended was pretty spectacular, to be honest. They introduced, basically they pointed us, much like a lot of the CW shows do, pointed us in the direction of where they're going in season two and what they will be introducing in season two, which was pretty phenomenal for them to, like the last 5 seconds of that show, you're like,
yeah. Whoa! I mean, yeah, I think I had to look up who that guy was.
Oh yeah, I did too.
Which is not always a good sign.
No. Frankly. So you know what you know.
Oh, let me put it this way. Like, I don't even know his name. I can't remember his name right now. But right. Like, Guy shows up and says, "I'm Guy," and they're right. Like, "Ah!" And I'm like, "Who?"
Who is actually our man?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Now it all makes sense.
Yes.
Now suddenly I remember it all.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to hold the Justice Society shenanigans,
which is kind of cool.
Well, we'll see if we get a real Jay Garrick finally.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah.
I mean, we have, like I said, we haven't seen the Flash finale, so we honestly don't know who's behind the mask, although...
I'm really doubling down on... From what I've heard about last week's show, which I haven't watched, but I've heard David. The spoiler... I've had stuff going on.
Gosh!
By which I mean I've had nothing going on.
Yeah, exactly! I was recording.
I've recorded on Tuesday nights.
But you could go home and watch it the next morning.
In
See,
theory.
This is what we need.
In theory. On just, demand is terrible.
This is why you just need to call your cable provider and get a DVR box, for God's sakes.
Ugh.
Pay the extra $12 a month and live with it.
For like 3 shows? No.
But then madness. At least, oh my God.
Madness. If I have to wait for the DVDs, I will wait for the DVDs.
Look here, Grandpa.
My day. You watched it when it was on, or you missed it and it was gone forever.
Oh my gosh.
You were lucky they reran it in the summer.
Oh my gosh.
That's the way it was, and we liked it.
You're ridiculous. But no, the Flash finale should be interesting tonight. Or tonight, as we record.
Yes.
Arrow's finale should be interesting because I thought last week's episode was fun. As we near the, well, there was a death.
Another one?
Well, there wasn't one of the team, but there was a death that is going to cause major problems.
Okay. Somebody asked me a question about it, and I'm like, oh yeah, that guy.
Oh yeah.
Was it that guy?
No.
There was a recurring villain from earlier in the season who popped up, and my friend was like, who's that?
No.
Okay. I'm like, oh yeah, and then I got to rail about how they keep stealing Batman villains.
Yeah.
Or in this case, a Robin villain. Which is even worse.
Yes. But yeah, it'll be the finale's be interesting, and then we gotta wait till the fall to see what happens, and Supergirl will join the pack in the fall, and they give me a chance this summer to get caught up on. Hopefully they put Supergirl on Netflix, because I'd like to watch season one.
I'm waiting for the DVDs.
The divids. The divids are good.
You okay?
I'm good.
Good Lord.
I know. I realized I was like, my seat's wobbly, and I realized, oh, it's because I'm sitting on the cord of the computer.
Oh,
awesome.
Geez.
Yeah, great.
See, if I did that, there'd be a big spark, and the lights would go out.
Yeah.
It's happened.
Oh, no. Thor Ragnarok is currently filming, and of course we've known for some time that it was going to be basically an intergalactic buddy film. On the road to Ragnarok, with Thor and of course Mark Ruffalo reprising his role as Bruce Banner and the Hulk.
Woo!
So it'll be interesting to see how Hulk ends up in Asgard.
I have a theory.
Yes,
I have a theory. What is mine? Because people have been like speculating about like. And there's been some big casting news. And we'll tie this all together.
Yes.
There's been some big casting news. And one of them is Jeff Goldblum as the Games Master.
Yes.
Who is one of these weird cosmic guys in DC that I don't really
understand.
Marvel,
you mean?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
So anyway, in Dark Horse Comics, the Game Master is a guy who likes to collect... He's a cosmic entity who likes to collect, you know, like Superman and Leonardo and the Tick.
Oh, good.
And whatever. I misspoke once.
Yay, let's make a game of it. Yay.
Yeah, well. Okay, so anyway. But he likes to have these weird games and contests. And everyone's been speculating that they might work Planet Hulk into it somehow.
Right.
Which, the beginning of that is very sort of Hulk's on this crazy alien planet, and it's very Gladiator.
Right.
So, my theory, which is mine right now, is that the movie kind of starts already with Planet Hulk in progress.
Oh.
And Thor shows up, because it's, you know, his job of being cosmic police guy to, like, poop on everybody's parade.
He's well,
like,
yeah.
I have heard there's illegal, you know,
right.
fighting going on. Why, it's my friend the Hulk.
Yeah.
That is my theory. What is mine?
Verily, Hulk. Verily. But yeah, there's been a lot of casting in this film. I mean, of course, you've got Mark Ruffalo.
I thought it was filming. You told me like months ago it was already filming.
Well, I thought so too, but it looks like it's finally actually is filming. The leaked footage that I had seen apparently cut together B-roll footage from like a deleted scene from the second Thor movie and something from a Hulk film, and it was garbage. But the casting for this film is pretty amazing. Cate Blanchett. Jeff Goldblum.
Plays Hela.
Yeah, plays Hela. Jeff Goldblum.
Plays the Game Master.
Tessa Thompson.
She plays Valkyrie.
Yeah. Carl Urban.
Who's Bones and Eomer and Dredd.
Yes, he...
He plays the... not the Destroyer, the...
Scourge the Executioner.
Scourge the Executioner.
Yep. So there's... I mean, there's just a ton of amazing people in this. Not to mention that on top of the casting news for this... We finally did learn that for Spider-Man Homecoming that Michael Keaton has signed on to play...
The Vulture, Adrian Toomes.
Yes.
Which is this amazingly cool meta-casting...
Oh, Whirlpool. God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Because he was Batman, and then he was Birdman, which is a commentary about being Batman.
Right.
And now he's literally a Birdman as the Vulture.
Yep. It's pretty meta.
Yeah, and that was funny because... You know, he'd been in talks. They talked about him being in talks for casting,
and then he walked away.
And then they were talking to Goldblum, and then suddenly, like all of a sudden, they announced that Goldblum was in Ragnarok. I'm going to say Hulk.
Hulk Ragnarok.
You can see what team I'm on. But Thor Ragnarok, and then I'm like, well, wait, wasn't he? And Michael Keaton's in Spider-Man.
You're like, yay!
And then they just did like this list of like all the, because there's them. There's Cate Blanchett, as we said. There's a. Tina Swilton.
Yeah, Tina Swilton.
And Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Just like a murderer's row of these amazing big-name stars
For Race 3. Actors and actresses.
I mean,
like,
we've already had Glenn Close and Robert Redford. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. Marvel's like freaking... This whole cinematic universe thing is mind-blowing.
Yeah. And people are like, when's it going to die? I'm like, not anytime soon.
Not anytime soon.
Not for at least another five or six years.
They keep the quality up, man. They can keep going forever.
Oh, yeah.
If they can just get a chink in the... if they can get a niche in the Fox armor, get the X-Men and Fantastic Four back, they can keep this going forever.
Oh, God, yes. My God. Switching over to the DC side of things.
I love them. Wolverine's my favorite.
What was Batman and Wolverine's...
Dark Claw.
Amalgam.
Dark Claw.
Was it Dark Claw?
Why do you look at me like that? I'm being absolutely dead serious. It was Dark Claw.
My mind went blank and
Two-Faced Goblin.
I shut down for a minute. Yes. Dark Claw.
Dark Claw.
What an awful character.
And then it was Jubilee and Robin, which was sort of almost redundant.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because old school Jubilee had the Robin outfit.
Yeah, exactly.
In one issue, like the first issue debuted... It was the Robin colors. And then they changed it in the next issue to, like...
The yellow and...
Well, the coat was always yellow, because that was Robin's cape, but...
The
shorts changed from, like, green to something else, and the...
But we found out the DC Cinematic Universe has a brand new captain of the ship, and that captain of the ship happens to be none other than Geoff Johns.
Geoff Johns.
Who, of course, spearheaded the TV universe.
Well, they put him in charge of the TV universe.
Yep.
He was more like a... I think initially he was more of a consultant...
To the TV
universe. Because I don't think he was involved with Arrow the first season, but he was involved with Flash.
Yeah.
Because Flash is one of his babies. Flash and Green Lantern seem to be his babies.
Yeah. But they put him, basically he and one of the DC executive vice presidents in the film wing of it for Warner Brothers, a guy who's been working on these films for some time now, basically put them in conjunction, like they're in charge of the universe, which means... Zack Snyder no longer really has a open playground to play in.
Yeah, I think he's Justice League one and done.
Yeah, pretty much. I think they're trying to course correct. Like, Man of Steel was somewhat of a hit for him. You know, it made some money.
Yeah.
They thought, great, you know, well, Zack did a pretty decent job, minus all of the, you know, back-talking and all the complaints. So, but he made us money, so we'll let him spearhead this cinematic universe, and we'll start it with, well, you know, Superman, Superman v. Batman, Dawn of Justice.
I think some of it also was, I think it was a little more complicated than that. I think, you know, he did Watchmen, which you know, didn't necessarily set the world on fire, but it was very well received. Yes. And it was a very faithful adaptation.
Yes.
And then he did Man of Steel. I think DC... Snyder's almost like the Fall Guy, I feel, because I think DC wanted a more serious, you know, because you know, even though Geoff Johns is taking over now, he and Jim Lee were the guys who designed New 52.
Right.
They were both in charge of that. Let us not forget.
Oh
that,
yes, no.
You know, but yeah, because there was also the New 52, and everything was very serious and very yeah. dark, you know, and Man of Steel was a, you know, they gave it to Snyder, and they wanted a more modernist, revisionist take on Superman, and like you said. I think some of it was also that they were trying to piggyback at that time on the Nolan films, which are very dark.
Yes,
but they were, as we've said before, this is going to become like the theme of this era of the show. Tone.
Yes,
the Dark Knight films. Batman can do a dark tone. It's appropriate for Batman.
Yes,
and Nolan, and it's appropriate to be realistic for Batman because he is a human being.
Yes,
so that was the beauty of the Nolan films, especially the early two. Was that sense of how's it going to work, and how, you know how's the Joker going to work in this world? How's Two-Face going to work in a this, real world?
Right.
How's Batman really going to be Batman in this world?
Right.
And it was dark, and it was realistic, and it worked really well, and it clicked. And I think they said, let's make everything dark. It'll be great. You know, we've had all the success with Watchmen and Dark Knight Returns
Darkness.
And the Nolan film. Darkness, no parents.
Yes.
And meanwhile, Marvel's like, let's give everybody colorful costumes and be hopeful and optimistic and have fun, and we'll be serious when it's appropriate.
Yeah.
But we're all, you know, it's a comic book movie.
Exactly.
Are you Tony Stank?
Yeah.
You know. And Marvel's making billions and everybody loves them, and you know, Batman vs. Superman is making millions. But it's like nobody seems to be happy with it.
No.
And it's just it's Batman is appropriate to be dark. Suicide Squad is appropriate to be dark.
Yes.
Wonder Woman might be appropriate to be dark
at points.
Wonder Woman's crazy. Like, I my roommate's a huge Wonder Woman fan, and yes. I bought her a book from Barnes and Noble that's like the story of Wonder Woman, like all the different historical chapters.
Right.
Wonder Woman's like, she's as bad as the Hulk.
Oh yeah.
In terms of consistency.
Yeah.
Well, they've just thrown everything at the wall and tried to make
what
it stick.
Sticks.
Yeah. So she can probably do a dark war story, and it'll be okay. It'll be kind of cool. I think it can be appropriate, but she can also do... I think when we bring her around again... But now, you know, Snyder's doing Justice League, and there's a lot of rumblings, and people aren't happy, and
yeah.
people aren't happy with Batman vs. Superman. Affleck apparently is really unhappy.
Yeah.
Because he was apparently, like, promising people it was, like, his redemption for Daredevil. And for the record, I mean, I know he doesn't listen to the show, but I don't think you have anything to apologize for. You were the best part of that movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were fantastic.
He and Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I am so looking forward to your solo Batman film. But
which apparently Geoff Johns is also co-writing with
well,
Ben Affleck.
And I think somewhere along the way something clicked, and they said this is not working.
Yes,
well, in a big way, because I don't know if we're gonna. Do you want to? The big story is that they're doing another reboot of the comic universe.
Oh yeah,
and it's called Rebirth.
DC Rebirth,
and it's being written by Geoff Johns, and literally. Like, when I first heard it, I was like, oh, another reboot, yay, the Tuesday already. But it's taking a very meta, it's like an apology.
Yeah.
For what they've been doing for the last, you know, almost couple decades.
Yeah.
And it's actually saying, this is where we went wrong. Like, in the story, it's saying, this is where we as a company made our mistake.
Right.
There was something that was great, and we misunderstood it. And we misunderstood what it meant, and we've let ourselves be led by this
right.
for all these years, and it's not appropriate, and it's not right for who we are.
Right.
And it's time to get back to who we are. But to have that be from the company and in continuity.
Yeah.
Like, let alone what it is that they're doing, like, that alone, like, breaching those walls
it's
was mind-blowing
yeah.
first. But
yeah.
the fact that it's being done in a way of saying... We have made a terrible mistake. We are going to fix it.
Yes.
This is the new approach, which is going to be more hopeful. Because that's the whole thing is the story, spoiler alert, is that Wally West is trying to come back into existence. He's been
right.
banished from existence. And he can't get anyone to acknowledge him, and he realizes that the universe has literally been leached of all its hope.
Mm.
Nobody has any hope. Everybody's wow. And the one person he finds that still is capable of smiling is Barry Allen.
Really?
And that's the one person who finally like sees him and acknowledges him and realize, and he's able to get through to him that something is wrong.
Oh, that's nice.
So and then the end is they reveal what happened.
Right.
And that's the huge mind-blowing twist that we won't reveal here, but it ties into DC's history in a big, in a huge, again, mind-blowing way. And apparently the very first page like tips it off.
Right.
Because if you know that particular story, it has a very distinctive style.
Right.
Like a 9-panel grid.
Right.
And it starts off that way.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, they're doing this. That's interesting. But at the end, they're like, no, we're doing this.
Yeah, we're doing
this. No, we're not doing this. We're doing this.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. And it's just, as a guy, I'm not really a writer because I don't actually write, but as a guy that's been interested in writing all my life.
Right.
What this is fascinating to me because it is so meta and it is so.
And where they can take the stories now and do the things
And apparently they're gonna crack open they're gonna say, yep, multiverse again.
Yeah.
Everything counts. Everything's cool.
Yep.
But it's just, and the fact that they're gonna bring back a Superman who's hopeful.
Yes.
And, Batman doesn't have to... Batman can be dark, like I said. And then there's a whole thing about the Joker that was... I struggle not to use the word because it's politically incorrect, so I'm just going to say really, 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 really stupid.
Yes.
Like offensively stupid to me. But, whatever.
Yeah.
Like the world's greatest detective would have figured this... I understand... Okay, I'm going to spoil this because I hate it so much.
Right.
There's three people who are the Joker. There are three Jokers.
Really?
The whole thing is Batman's trying to figure out who... Like, somehow... I don't know... Because I haven't actually read it. I've read about it. But somehow he's able to, like... He's able to do some mystical thing that finds out the Joker's real name.
Oh.
And the whole thing is, it says, no, there is no real name. He's like, why? Well, because there are three of them.
Hmm.
And I'm like, I can understand... Here's the problem. You accept that different writers have different takes on characters.
Right.
You accept that different artists have different takes on characters. That's why the Joker looks different. That's why the Joker acts different.
Right.
You don't need a meta in canon reason for that. And Batman is the world's greatest detective. If there were three people that were pretending to be Jason Duvall, I'm pretty sure I would figure out that I'm dealing with a different guy.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
That's all I'm saying. Like I'm pretty sure I could figure it out. Maybe not. I mean, if they really, really tried, maybe not. But I'm not the world's greatest detective. And you're not my you're my best friend. But
right,
Like, this is his arch nemesis. This is a guy he sees in his nightmares.
Yeah, somebody he should understand.
Like, he should have figured out that, wait, this guy's a little different than the nose is different. And again, in comics, because you have different artists, you accept that as a reader. As Batman, no, he should have figured that out. So
yeah.
I think that's stupid. I know we're completely off on a tangent. but this is my podcast too.
True,
I'm allowed to go on tangents.
That's true.
Crazy, goofy.
I allowed you to. Doesn't one of them look like the Suicide Squad?
I have
Joker?
No idea who they look like.
I think one of them has the Suicide Squad Joker look, the Jared Leto, and
I am sure that'll be the new look for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, probably.
They tend to do that.
Yeah, but DC Rebirth is a huge thing.
Other
of
than that, it sounds very It sounds like it's going to be. I mean, DC Comics are definitely going to like try to be something different and more traditional comic booky and a little, because when they said after Rebirth that Ted Kord was coming back, I'm like, yay! And now I'm like, oh, well, that absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You're like, all right. Yay.
Well, apparently he's going to come back and he's not going to be horribly murdered in 5 minutes.
Yeah, thank God.
But he'll have fun and be goofy and have happy adventures.
Yay.
That would be awesome.
Good old Blue Beetle. Still waiting for Beetle to show up on the darn CW-verse.
It was supposed to be him, not Adam.
I know. It was supposed to be Ted Kord.
Breaks my heart. And he was... I mean, he was Ted Kord.
He
didn't shrink until the finale.
Yeah, I know.
He basically was Ted Kord.
So...
And he would have been good as Ted Kord.
Yeah.
He is Ted Kord. He's still in that character.
But he's also good as Paul Mardo.
Well, he's good as the character that they've created for him.
Yeah. Which is so weird to see him in that role and go, he was Superman once.
He was.
Yeah. It's very odd to me. I'm like, it's Superman, but he's so much better at this than he was at Superman.
Well, yeah, Superman's a hard role. I don't envy anyone trying to be Superman.
No. God, no.
I really don't.
No. I'm trying to think. There were some trailers that premiered the last couple weeks since we last recorded last week.
Okay.
The newest Ghostbusters trailer.
Yeah.
which was a much better trailer than the first one.
That would be difficult.
It would be difficult.
It would be difficult not to be.
The trailer they showed probably should have been the first trailer because it was a little bit more. There were some jokes in there that actually hit.
There were punchlines.
There were punchlines that worked.
Jokes
that actually worked and actually made Dave and I go, ha.
Yeah, there were a couple jokes that kind of made me smile.
Yeah.
I still have. Like, here's the thing. Is like, I'm not angry about the Ghostbusters remake.
I'm not either.
I've never been angry about it. Well,
right.
Because now this is a thing. It's a thing, and now it's becoming a counter thing, where now there's like a counter joke, where if you say anything about it, then it becomes, well, you hate women.
Right,
why do you hate women so much?
Right.
And
you become misogynistic.
It's too easy to defend the film by saying, well, if you don't like the film, then you hate women. And I actually posted on Facebook that I'm against the Bugaboo Banzai reboot.
Right.
I want that on record before they cast, you know, anyone that isn't a white heterosexual guy
as Bucker Banzai. Role.
Well, I would actually love like a female Bucker Banzai. I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
But I'm on record as I'm against the whole idea before they cast anybody and say, well, you don't like black people. You don't like You don't like people from India. You don't like Chinese people. You hate gay Mexican women.
Weird.
It's like, well, you should see my browser history.
Oh.
But no, I'm kidding.
That's awful.
That's a joke.
I have nightmares now.
I mean, my browser history is pretty awful. If I'm dead, you need to break my phone immediately.
Okay, fair enough. But the Ghostbusters trailer was really much
better. It was better.
I
still think the film itself was unnecessary. I still think that they're milking the brand, but as we've said over and over again, that's nothing new.
No.
I mean, at this point in pop culture, it's just another recycled thing. You know, my problem is, it's not just the recycling of the brand, they're recycling the movie.
Yeah.
It's, hey, these scientists come together, and they discover ghosts, and they discover the equipment that can fight ghosts. Oh, and then there's a menace that blah, 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 that's a big threat that just happens to, like, strike right when they're all...
Yeah.
And then they win, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, everybody's happy. There was a final Turtles trailer as we near the premiere happened just recently, but as we near the opening of that film next month.
Yeah, weirdly, I'm more excited about that than I am about Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it looks
because as I said along, as weird as it sounds that they brought in Bebop and Rocksteady, that makes me excited, but it does because it's something different.
Yes,
it's introducing
it's
a new
something
element.
That hasn't been done in the Turtle films yet.
Yeah, actually, I mean they were only ever like I think in the cartoon.
They were only
right?
in the cartoon and the video games,
and it's so bizarre. Just to see these cartoon-accurate Bebop and Rocksteady and then the Bay Turtles, and it's like, I'm legitimately interested in seeing what they do with it.
Yeah.
You know?
And then Krang, who apparently was voiced by Fred Armisen.
Yeah.
And is now going to be voiced by... Brad Garrett. So, that's very interesting to me.
I almost wonder if it's going to be both. Like, Armisen will be like the blobby thing, the brain thing, and then Garrett will be the robot.
That could be.
Because Garrett seems more like the robot.
Yeah. He does indeed seem more like that type of character.
Yeah.
A new Star Trek trailer. The second Star Trek trailer, which was, again, not hard to do, but way better than the first one.
Yeah, the trailer was a little better. I've heard more about the film that made it more interesting for me.
Yes.
So I'm a little more
excited about
it. I actually am interested in seeing it now.
Yeah.
And the trailer, because I've heard that Simon Pegg was angry about that first trailer.
Oh yeah, I can imagine so. Because it did nothing like.
Yeah.
It was awful looking. You're just like, what are we watching?
Yeah, it was cheesy and stupid looking.
Yeah. This new one though, luckily they kind of fixed the.
They played up. Yeah, there's some stuff that like teases and it's interesting. You see an NX class ship flying around.
Yeah.
Which is neat because that's continuity. And considering that the whole point of this universe was a reboot.
Yes.
But Enterprise came before the reboot.
Yeah.
So, the TV show Enterprise.
Right.
So it's kind of neat to see the NX flying around.
Yeah.
It's not the Enterprise. It's a different NX class ship.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I guess.
Spoiler alert.
But it was just kind of like, because people are like, well, it was a reboot universe, blah, blah, blah. And how do we even know Enterprise happened? I'm like, in the first film, Scotty's on the ice planet because he ran a transwarp experiment on Admiral Archer's prize Beagle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they established that's continuity, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry to be a nerd.
So.
Yeah, the lovely Carrie Ann is, like, trying to get away from the nerdity.
Yes,
she's
run!
Like, oh!
Run, redhead, run!
Star anything.
You're wrong, madam!
See, the world trailers this week was there were some pretty interesting things that
there was,
hit.
Yeah, there was Ghostbusters, there was that, and then there was one more we were talking about before we started recording.
Star Trek, Turtles, Ghostbusters.
Okay, we got all three. Yeah, you're
right. So some fun stuff coming to the movie theaters and to the toy aisles here.
I think X-Men Apocalypse is this week.
It's this week, yeah.
I believe. Are you going to be in Kentucky?
On Friday, yes, but I haven't decided if we are going to see it on Thursday or not.
All right. Honestly, I can wait.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm good. Whatever.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
What are they going to spoil? Oh my god, Apocalypse kills everybody.
Yeah. Oh my god, people die. So much death. Oh no. What do you say we answer some fan questions?
Sure, why not?
We actually got quite a few today, which is cool.
Do we?
Bo Clay says, "What classic line of figures would be cheap and nice to collect?" What vintage line would you recommend? That's
well, you affordable? Know, ironically, we have a later question about Captain Power.
Oh, okay.
And I remember that. I remember getting that really cheap.
For the most part, yes.
Yeah, there was like one figure that she didn't like that Victoria, who sets up at Toyman, didn't have.
Yes, Tritor, I think.
Yeah, and you had an extra.
Yeah. I did. Well, I mean, there's all of the figures except for Tritor are pretty relatively easy to find and affordable. The first series of ships, so both.
I was going to say, yeah, when you get into the ships and stuff, then maybe it gets a little hinky.
Well, the two ships and the Interlocker, which is the big throne.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Power Energizer are pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
It's when you start getting into the Power Base. And the play set.
Play sets are always bad, yeah. Though. Like, there's no toy line that has a cheap play set.
No. But the second wave of stuff is rough to
play
find.
Sets and the final wave.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. If it's the second, third, fourth, the last wave out is always terrible. And then play sets are always terrible.
I kind of gave this some thought. And if there was one line that's actually pretty decently affordable for the most part, it's probably RoboCop. Because you can pretty much put that whole line together for pretty affordable, for maybe less than a grand.
Okay. Wow.
Well, I mean, you start talking about, you know, you're talking, there's
a lot.
You're
talking everything.
You're talking everything. Yeah, okay. I'm talking everything.
In my head, I always like to differentiate between the figures and then the stuff, the accessories.
Right.
So.
But I'm talking like the figures, the vehicles.
The whole thing, yeah. The whole shebang.
And I think out of mine, I'm missing a vehicle and two weapons for one of the characters. So
I mean, the downside of that, though, is that they did use heavy vac metalizing, and you've had some issues with that.
And there have been some issues with that. I'm trying to think if there's really...
Yeah, I wouldn't even classify RoboCop as a classic line.
I do. It's an 90s, old line. It's an 80s, late 80s Kenner line. That's fun.
Okay.
That is one of the oddball lines I collect that actually is a good toy line, because the rest of them are just... I would say Bill and Ted, but while it's a short line,
those seem pricey.
Phone booth and the figures themselves tend to get a little pricey.
Well, okay, that's everything.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Like, I gave it some thought, and I had some answers, and I was like, as I was downstairs earlier looking at things, I'm like, no. Bucky O'Hare is pretty affordable.
I guess.
That's a great line, and it's pretty easy to find those figures in the vehicles for that, not a fortune. So Bucky's one of the lines that are probably a little bit easier to come by. Charles Everett said, "I just received my Star Wars Smuggler's Bounty box today, and I was thinking..."
Did we skip? Wait.
No.
Okay, never mind. Yeah.
I just recently received my Star Wars Smuggler's Bounty box today, and I was thinking, do either of you receive a monthly toy or hobby subscription? Thanks for the hours of entertainment with the podcast. Well, number one, you're welcome. Yeah. And number two, no.
I do the Joe subscription service.
Yes.
Which is when they get around to it, a monthly thing.
Yeah.
And
they end up doing it.
Well, when I get around to it, you get it for like 6 months.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah, I don't do the box things. And there's only ever been one that I regret missing, which is they had one with a blue Snaggletooth pop.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of, that one's like a pain in the ass on eBay.
Yeah.
But other than something like that, because I saw that they had one, like a Smuggler's Bounty one that has like basically the Walmart Jabba set.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I have the Walmart Jabba set.
But I have that set.
Yeah, I hate spending money on stuff if I don't know what I'm getting. I hate blind bags. I hate blind subscription services. Yeah. I don't want to spend money on stuff if I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And those also have a lot of extra stuff that I don't necessarily...
Exactly.
am interested in.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the boxes. You know, I've seen guys like Danny and those them open them on camera, and I'm just like, I'm not interested. I'm just not.
And they focus heavily on the pops too, which is something that I cherry pick.
But then you have guys lightly. Like, yeah, Dinosaur Dracula has his own monthly box that he sends out. That's like just oddball 80s and 90s like trading cards and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I none of it interests me. Like none of it interests me to gonna go. Yeah, I'll spend $20 a month on that because to me it's just like I'm the same as you. I'm like, I'd like to know what I'm getting. Like what am I paying for? Like I don't want to get a box and be like, oh, this is all garbage.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think it'll be all garbage, but just no. I don't know if it'll be anything that interests me.
Right.
Like even with like the G.I. Joe thing, like I'm gonna need a list of figures for 5.0 before I shell out cash.
Yeah, before you shell out cash. Exactly.
I don't necessarily have to see them, but I have to know who I'm getting.
Yeah. Robert Hardefield says, "If you run out of room."
By the way, today did you know this? As we're recording this, is Robert's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Mr. Hardefield. Robert. Happy birthday. But Robert says, "If you run out of room, do you store your collectibles in storage bins?"
Yes, basically, I have a lot of storage totes.
Technically, there's a big pile of stuffed animals on the other side of the toy bar down here that. Is an auction purchase from about a year ago now, almost. That one of these days, Carrie and I will get through the mall and try to figure out what to do with. But boxes and storage totes. But I think most of the collection, minus the stuff we want to film, is pretty much out and displayed for the most part. I mean, yeah, the basement's a mess because we've just got a lot of stuff that we haven't figured out what we're going to do with yet. But I do have some stuff stored in totes that... Like, all my She-Ra figures are in a tote, and I've got a bunch. Like, I've got the entire run of Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders in a tote.
Oh, of course you do.
Yes, I know. That need to come out and be displayed again one of these days, but never gotten around to that.
As a general rule, I don't keep a lot of... I mean, I have a lot of totes, but they're for, like, boxes and right, cards. Yeah. I try not to buy something that I can't put out.
Right.
There's a lot of early stuff that I'm not that interested in anymore that are in totes, but...
Yeah, nothing.
There's some carded, like some old carded Batman figures and X-Men figures somewhere.
Yeah.
A lot there's like one tote of just all my brilliant Power of the Force 2 extra like the extras that I didn't get rid of,
yeah.
Because I cut it down to like just one extra instead of like three extras. Cuz apparently I was some kind of financial genius back in
the
mid-90s.
Well, figures were cheaper back then.
A little bit.
Yeah. Alexis Lasik says, what do you think of the new upcoming Transformers line, Titans Return?
I actually have not really paid much attention or really seen any of them, so I have almost no opinion whatsoever.
We've seen a few of them. We've looked at a couple of Galvatron, Soundwave, and Blaster are part of that line as headmasters.
I'm sure I've looked at it. Dude, man, I got so much going on, especially even in terms of toys.
Right.
Like that stuff just doesn't stick.
Over your head.
Like when they're on the shelf, I'll look at them and go, oh.
Yeah.
I'm interested in Trypticon, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I'm really not up on it. Jason, apparently you are an expert.
Well, I like the look of them. I mean, I never did finish any of the Combiner Wars stuff. I finished a few of the Combiners and bits and pieces, like certain figures that I wanted to get, like Megatron Ultra Magnus and a few other characters that I really wanted, but there was some stuff that I missed. I was just, once you miss it, you're just like, oh well, I'll never see that again.
Yeah, that seems to be the way. It's like if you weren't there, and you have a pretty decent window.
Yeah.
Once that window closes, you're
on to something else or trying to hunt it down. The Titan stuff I like. I like the look of pretty much most of it. I like the idea behind a lot of it. I think it'll be a fun line once it starts hitting, but I know a lot of people are looking forward to Fortress Maximus because he's going to be huge and he's going to be really cool looking. So, yeah. It'll be interesting. Like I said, like I'm like you. Until I see them on the shelves to see what they look like, then we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see how I feel about it. Adam Ernest says, "I found two Captain Planet toys when I was cleaning my room."
This is what I was saying earlier. Yeah,
I was wondering how hard is this line to complete, Duvall? You collect a lot of horrid and bad toy lines. What is the worst line that you've ever collected? Captain Planet actually is a really rough one to complete.
I assume you meant like in terms of quality, but
well, I mean, you start thinking about all the different variations of Captain Planet they did, which were a lot. They did a number of different variations on the Planeteers, which were quite a few. The villains, the all of the the different little vehicles and playsets are kind of rough to find. It's a line that I have a couple figures out of. Like, I have a two-pack and a single-carded figure out of that line. Just that I stumbled across, I don't even know how, many years ago. I think even when they were in the stores, I bought them. And they're still sitting around, never been opened. And I keep debating, do I open them? Do I sell them? Do I want them? Like, because it's not a line I'm going to collect. It's like, man, I don't know. But it can be a little tough. The worst toy line that I've ever collected.
Tales from the Crypt Keeper.
Tales from the Crypt Keeper.
That's about, if you weren't going to say that, I was going to go, and to answer your question.
Yes, Tales from the Crypt Keeper. And I didn't, I bought them all specifically to do an episode of That New Toy Smell with.
And you hated them.
Oh, they were horrible. Just awful, awful figures.
And this is Jason Duvall saying this, guys.
Yes. And like, there are a lot of fans of that figure. There's fans of that line on the fan group.
I'm utterly indifferent. I pay no attention to them when you reviewed them. Yeah. And
they just were awful horror toys that were just, they were, I just did not like them. That was probably the worst toy, because I gave them all away, because I didn't pay more than like $1 a piece for them, because we found them in a garage sale. And I bought them all because I was like, oh, we can do an episode of That New Toy Smell on these. And then when we did it, I think I gave them all to Danny and Killen. I was like, you guys do whatever you want with these. I'm like, I don't want them anywhere near me anymore because they're horrible, awful figures. So that was the worst toy line I ever collected. Alex Pasquale says, everyone by now has heard the news that NECA is doing the TMNT arcade figures for San Diego Comic-Con. By proxy through the posts, David mentioned his fondness for using Leo at the arcade, and Danny's made numerous mentions of his love of Raph. That said,
yeah, everybody loves Raph.
That said, Duvall, who is your favorite turtle, and what draws you guys to your specific turtle? He says, I've always thought a person's favorite turtle either directly reflect their personality or whom they would like to strive more like to be. P.S. is they are a fourth turtle among you three. Probably, like, in the Toy World Order world, probably the redhead that's sitting behind us.
Probably.
Yeah, she's kind of like... Carrie's almost like the Raphael of the group.
Already called Raphael.
Well, but yes, but Carrie's personality is more with Raphael. She's very headstrong. And
she's in the room, so I'm not agreeing with you at all.
And sometimes can be very violent.
I have never noticed that of her. She has been nothing but a delight and a gentlewoman. I think she's holding a cat, by the way. So I'm
good.
I do not want that thrown at me. Yeah, I like Leonardo. I mean, I just like playing him in the game, but I do like the character. It's weird because, I hate Cyclops for different reasons, but I like that he's that he's got that sort of real sense of responsibility and real sense of honor. And he's the one, like when they do the samurai version, he's the one that's always a samurai because that's really more his style than being a ninja.
Yeah.
To be honest, and he's got that honor, and he's got that, you know. And he's the big brother, and he's, you know.
Yeah.
I like that. It's the least exciting of the character archetypes, but maybe that's kind of why I like it.
Right.
You know, because, Raphael's the dark, brooding Batman one.
Yeah.
The Wolverine one.
Yeah.
Of course everybody loves him. And then Mikey's the goofy party guy.
Yeah.
And Donnie's the nerd. And, and I like that Leonardo's the boring one. I like, you know.
Yeah. I would have to go with my favorite turtle, probably Donatello.
Okay.
I always liked Donatello, especially in the movies. I really enjoyed, like, you know, he was one of my favorite characters, like the first movie when Corey Feldman voiced him, and then the second movie when, I don't remember who voiced him the second one, but he was a fun character in the second film, but Donatello's always been kind of my favorite turtle. Kamise Clark, last but not least, says, hi, eh? Dark Canadians.
Well, he's a Canadian, so that would be least.
A while back, you talked about Disney turning their animated movies and remaking them into live-action films. You forgot to name the upcoming Beauty and the Beast, which is one of my favorites, he says.
Did I do that on purpose?
Dun, dun, dun. My question is, which movies do you think would be really cool and a must for live-action, and which ones do you think they shouldn't even touch? Plus, do you think a small toy line for these movies would do well? I find it kind of funny that there's been none thus far. Maybe I just answered my own question. Thanks, and keep up the great work. Disney animated movies that...
They had a toy line for Jungle Book.
They did. It was horrible.
Okay, he didn't say a good toy line.
No. They did do a doll line for Maleficent.
Yes.
They've done doll lines for...
I'd bet money there are toys for Beauty and the Beast.
At least dolls.
Yeah.
At least dolls.
Well, they have dolls, but they also have, like... Ooh, action figure-y thing. They're in the doll aisle, but they have them for Frozen. They have the Little Mermaid.
Yep, they have the little action figure like dolls.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of them on the dock, and I know they're going to do Little Mermaid. I know they've talked about doing Aladdin. There's some that they may not do, although Jungle Book was a huge hit, so maybe they'll try to do Lion King, although I can't imagine that to a degree. I know they're doing, I don't know if they're doing it or somebody else, but I know there's a Mary Poppins coming out, another Mary Poppins.
Okay.
Because I know Lin-Manuel Miranda is part of that cast. Which,
of course you do.
Yes, I know. Yes, yes, comma, yes. Little Mermaid's at the top of my list because I know it's happening, and I'm kind of anxious to see it get made. I'm trying to think if there is a Little Mermaid film that's already being made, and I want to say that's the one with Chloe Moretz or whatever.
Sure, why not?
I think that's her name.
I know who you're talking about. Hit Girl.
Yeah, Hit Girl. How to spell her name?
No idea.
Just look up Hit Girl.
I would have suggested that.
Yeah. Just look up Hit Girl.
For the record, while Jason's typing away, let me just point out I am not a big Disney guy. So I'm not really familiar. I mean, I know the films, but I'm just... Without trying to start a thing, I just don't care.
Right. Yeah, she is in a version of Little Mermaid, but I'm going to say the Little Mermaid movie that she's starring in is not the Disney one, and it is the...
Well, it is a public domain story, so...
It is.
So they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. I was trying to think of who...
I'm going to stand up.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I want to say that one is being done by... I don't know. They don't even say the studio.
That's not a good sign.
No.
Why does their poster look like a 50 Shades of Grey thing?
Exactly.
That's a really bad sign.
Yes.
Or a really good one, depending on your point of view.
That's true. Working Titles Film is the company that's producing it. But I'd like to see the Disney version of that. But there are some stuff... I can't think of anything that they probably shouldn't touch. I mean, there's so much
animated. Well, I mean, they've already touched Snow White.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already hit the real classics. Now they're doing the moderns. I don't know that there's anything that they, you know, that they can't. That would be... What would be hands-off? Like, I would say Snow White would be the hands-off thing, and they've done it.
Yeah, they've done it.
You know, the Sleeping Beauty...
Wait, Disney didn't do Snow White. You're thinking of the Huntsman. You're thinking of Snow White and the Huntsman. That's a...
I thought they did... Well, I thought they did a Snow White thing.
No. Okay. They've done Maleficent, Cinderella, Jungle Book.
I don't know who does these films.
I want a live-action Oliver and Company.
There you go.
Yes.
I was trying to think of the stupidest one I could think of, and I couldn't come up with anything.
That's what I want.
I want a live-action Mickey's Christmas Carol.
I would go see that.
They have to genetically engineer actual humanoid mices.
Mices
and ducks.
And make a humanoid mentally challenged dog as Goofy?
Yes.
Gosh. So Carrie can go, aww.
I want one.
I want Goofy.
And be like, yeah, he can't be housebroken. I don't care.
Gosh. He will be mine. Gosh. Aww. Goofy pooped on the floor again. Darn it, Goofy, stop pooping.
Goofy keeps eating batteries. Stop it, Goofy. Gosh.
Gosh.
They're so shiny.
9 volts are tasty.
They tingle on my tongue.
As the redhead's over there just shaking her head at us. Dave and I found great enjoyment in that, and I'm not sure
why. It kept us amusing for a couple seconds.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up this week's show. Dave and I will be back next week with an all-new episode, so make sure you tune in then.
Do it.
Yes, do it. Also... Carrie and I will be back here real soon with an all-new Married to the Collection as she shakes her head again. We are going on a little trip this weekend, so we should have some tales to tell on an upcoming episode of Married to the Collection, which has kind of been in dormancy for a while. She should be willing to do that because she doesn't have to be on camera at all for that. So she just has to sit down in her comfy chair and actually...
She's nodding reluctantly.
Yes. All she has to do is talk to me for like an hour.
Oh, and, God.
Yeah, that's hard enough, right?
Yeah.
Heck, we...
It just dawned on her. That's what it would
be. After being in a car for you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And we walk every night, pretty much, except for Tuesday when we record. We walk, like, together, like, 2 miles every night. And here's the kicker. we both wear headphones and don't talk to one another when we're walking. Yes. Carrie's like, I don't want to talk to you while I walk. I'm like, all right, I love you too. Bye. Oh my gosh. The fun never stops in the Duvall household.
Doesn't sound like it.
No. We'll be back next week, guys, with an all-new show. Make sure you tune in. Check out our sponsor, Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shellheadcomics.com. Make sure you check them out. Check us out on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/toyworldorder. Hit subscribe. Mash the like button. Check out our sister site, youtube.com/boardtheshow, for an all-new season of Board starting this July. So make sure you tune in for that. And gang, until next week, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. A peace out.